This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two of Gwen and Chris on a Friar Friday afternoon from Spiro's Mediterranean Cuisine, the Greek Cafe here on Coronado. Right at the ferry landing, if you're heading on over the bridge, when you get over the bridge, just make a right turn on Orange Avenue, the main street. Take your right on down here to the ferry landing. It'll only be a couple of minutes off the bridge. So if you're heading to Petco Park for the ball game tonight, you want to come by, maybe win some prizes, win some tickets, win some shirts and hats and stuff. We've been giving them away during every break. Make sure you come on by and say hello. Visit us. We'll be here for the next couple of hours. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. Of course, Tony Gwynn Jr. is idle today and this weekend. Tony, who had to go back to New York for a baseball event with his son. Trey is there. Trey Gwynn.
Yes, Trey Gwynn.
Trey Gwynn. Made the trip back with Tony to New York, so he's going to be out this weekend. But we will try to keep it rolling without him today. Got our daily gambit coming up. We got the Padres and the Yankees for game one of a three-game series. There is something, Scraby, to be said. Whether you like them or not, a little extra excitement when the Yankees come in here, right?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Only every two or three years.
Yeah.
Now with the schedule the way it is, they'll come every 2 years. You know, it's kind of extra fun when the Yankees are here. They're just kind of
is extra fun when the Yankees are here. Ooh, Chris is getting a,
I'm getting, oh,
a
wow.
bottle of wine and avocado.
I love avocados.
Delivered. Wow, look at
Thank
this.
Thank you so much.
That's a lot of goodness. Great.
Who's hey, this from?
Grangettos. Yes, they bring. Yes,
Thank you, Kevin.
They sponsor, and he. They've brought down avocados before. I've actually taken some home.
Oh,
they're
my
delicious.
Goodness.
They're
Scrape, you can have a couple
delicious.
Of these. Thank you, Kevin. That was nice.
Yeah, that was.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. I'm feeling. I know. I cut my hand
what
on the
happened?
On the table here.
Oh,
there's
no.
like something sticking out from the table, and I have blood on my hand.
No one.
I'm willing to work through it, Scraby. I'm willing to work through the pain.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
I'll be okay. But thanks for being concerned. But yeah, I think it's exciting that the Yankees are here, right? I mean, it's always a little fun to see, you know, have them come in, and this is the one part. We talk about hating the balanced schedule. I hate it. I know Tony really hates it. I don't know that it's necessary. You know, to me, you can play three or four American League opponents every year, and then the Yankees would still come here every once in a while.
Yeah.
I just don't know that you need to play every team in baseball every year because it eliminates too many of the interdivision matchups with the Dodgers and the Giants and games like that that, you know, I think all of us really look forward to. But the fact of the matter is, because of the balanced schedule, the Yankees are here, and that's cool. It's cool.
It is. I'm actually not going, like, if I was to go and see them this weekend, it wouldn't be because they're the Yankees. It's because I want to see Aaron Judge. I think that would be fun, because I've never seen him in
And
person.
Aaron Judge, by the way, is on fire right now. He's
he
got an OPS of about 1,300.
Remember when he started the season
month.
Hitting, like, 100
yeah.
for, like, the first month?
Yeah, that's long gone.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, you're going to have to be careful with Aaron Judge. You're going to have to be careful with Soto, of course. And you're going to have to be careful if you're sitting in the stands behind the Yankee dugout. Because if you say anything wrong, Aaron Boone might get you ejected. Or get himself ejected.
Yeah, he'll get himself.
Or actually, get himself ejected.
You know, maybe some Padres fans could sit behind him like that
try
one
to,
fan.
Try to short circuit his day.
Try to yell something.
Yell something at the umpires.
Get Aaron Boone ejected.
I think we had Hunter Wendelstedt the other day in Cincinnati. I don't think we're going to have him again. I don't think he's going to fall for that twice.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So.
Although it was pretty funny once he realized the look on his face of like, ooh, I think I just threw out the
manager.
I think
I just messed up really, really bad.
It was actually the guy behind the manager. manager.
I am. I'm a fan of Aaron Boone. I like his. I like his. You know, the way he gets after it, and you know, he demands excellence, and I think all managers should. You know, so I kind of like Aaron Boone. I think he brings a good edge to the game, and you know, the Yankees are being rewarded for keeping him because a lot of people thought it was time for Aaron Boone to go, and now the Yankees are. You know, they're not the injured bunch of, you know, pinstripes that they were last year. Most everybody's healthy. The shortstop, Anthony Volpe, has turned into one of the best young shortstops in baseball. He comes in here with a long hitting streak. I think it's 16 or so in a row. So you have him, you have Judge, you have Soto. You know, I mean, it's a good ball club. And, you know, like I said, I'm going to worry about what the Padres can do against Rodon more than anything else. Got to start hitting some left-handed pitching. As a matter of fact, I can't say I'd be happier, but it wouldn't hurt my feelings if they lost 9-8 tonight, as opposed to winning 1-0 where they scratch across a run against a right-handed reliever, you know, and are shut out by a lefty again.
Yeah,
like at some point, I want to see them hit left-handed pitching because I think that's going to serve them well moving forward.
I do too. And Fernando yesterday, we'll keep bringing it up, off of a left-handed pitcher, wins the game.
Yeah, they beat a left-handed pitcher yesterday in extra innings, so hopefully that's a good sign of things to come. All right, you ready for some of the winners and losers in sports? Heading into the weekend, it's the Daily Gambit.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. First, join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. Now, the first bet we made yesterday, Celtics were 9-point favorites over the Pacers. You chose the Celtics, Chris. I chose the Pacers. I was incorrect. The Celtics won 126-110, so not even close.
Well, it was close for a while. It was about a 6-point game at halftime. I thought Pascal Siakam had a great game for Indiana to keep them in it. But the Celtics, they got the Shamrock working overtime right now. I mean, let's take a look at how lucky they have been. And they're a good team to begin with. They don't need a lot of luck. But in the first round, they played Miami. No Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
In the second round, they played Cleveland. No Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
And now they've drawn Indiana, and Tyrese Halliburton gets hurt in the third quarter last night, leaves the game, has a hamstring injury, may not be able to come back in this series. I mean, this is a gimme for the Celtics. I mean, they're already good enough to beat these teams, but you can't take Butler off of the Heat. You can't take Mitchell off of Cleveland. And you can't take Halliburton off of Indiana. So the Celtics are living right. And, you know, to me, more than anything else, that's why they won that game last night. You know, Halliburton goes out in the third quarter. Boston just pulls away. Jaylen Brown is on fire with 40. Jason Tatum only had 4 points in the first half. Finally came alive in the second. But Celtics are, things are, you know, going their way right now. And they're going after, I don't know what it would be, their 17th or 18th NBA championship. So,
oh, great.
Yeah, I know you're excited about it. I'm not excited about it either.
The next bet was over under 225 total points in the game, and it was 236. So you went over, I went under, you win again.
2-0 for me.
Yes.
0-2 for you.
Yep.
I want you to keep track of how things are going here.
Now, you already know the answer, so that's why you're keeping track.
That's right.
Halliburton, as we just talked about, over under 18.5 points. We both went over. He didn't really play that long.
No, he didn't play long enough. Yeah, that's one of the problems with betting an over. If a guy gets hurt, you're
in trouble.
You're out of luck.
But you also can't hope that he exits a game and do the under.
No, you can. Yeah, that's right.
Next bet, Dallas Stars minus 1.5 on the puck line with the Oilers. And you chose the Oilers. I chose the Stars. The Stars did win 3 to two, but I did not win the bet because they needed to win by two goals.
And the bearer of misinformation strikes again. The Oilers won the game in overtime.
Oh.
Connor McDavid scored the game-winning goal in the second overtime.
Well,
I'm telling you what, the Stanley Cup playoffs are so exciting. I know I can't, you know, necessarily interest a bunch of hot fans out there in San Diego sometimes, but look, these NBA playoffs, one game's okay, the rest of next a blowout. You know, NHL, the intensity with which these games are played is so fun to watch. And, you know, I enjoyed that game last night. Edmonton, you know, blew the lead actually late in the third period and won in the second OT. So they take the lead in the series.
And the final bet is actually a controversial bet. The Orioles minus 1.5 on the run line over the White Sox. We both chose the Orioles. We were both correct, 8-6. But I just got a push notification saying that the, let's see, I just want to get the language right. The umps were wrong, according to Major League Baseball, because they called I'm not going to explain this very well, so why don't you go for it?
I didn't see it, so you're going to have
to
explain
great.
It.
No, it was the end of the game. There was one out in the ninth, and it was like an infield fly, and the White Sox runner on second kind of blocked Gunnar Henderson from getting to the ball, like kind of, like was just basically standing there.
So they
there.
Called him out for interference?
Interference, and all of the White Sox manager came out, and he's losing his mind trying to figure it out.
Right.
And the Orioles were
so now Major League Baseball
win.
Is pulling an NBA by coming out after the game and
exactly.
saying we messed up when it's too late to do anything about it.
Yeah, I mean,
doesn't make the White Sox feel any better. They've lost the game.
If there's one team that this can happen to and no one cares, it's the White Sox.
Yeah, well, it's a nice. The Orioles need the win. I mean, they're trying to fight with the Yankees, but it was a little controversial. But let's just say this. Even if the runner would have been ruled safe, the White Sox would have probably found out a way to mess up the rally anyway.
Here's what crew chief Adrian Johnson said after the game. The ball was hit, an infield fly was ruled on the play. Third base umpire Junior Valentine came in with interference on Andrew Vaughn, the runner on second base. Actually, the shortstop made contact with him. So with the interference, that's an out. You still have the infield fly, and that's an out also.
Yes, but Major League Baseball said what? It shouldn't have been interference.
That's what they say.
All right. Well, like I said, neither here nor there. Do I get to go to the window and collect because I took Baltimore?
Yeah, you do.
Okay, so I get to go collect. That's all I'm interested in.
They did have a runner on second. I mean, that could have changed the game.
Yes, it could have changed the outcome of the bet, but you know what? That's why we gamble responsibly.
That's true.
Because those kinds of things can definitely happen.
We're responsible.
And change. No. Yes, we are. All right.
All right, so tonight's bets. I have two. The first one is going to be, what does Juan Soto do in a first plate appearance tonight?
What is favored? Walk?
Let's walk is plus 500. The favorite is in play out, and then strikeout, single, walk, hit by pitch, home run, double, reach on an error,
my
and triple
goodness.
Is plus 2,800.
Yeah, that seems like a long shot. All right, what are you going to go with? I mean,
do I really do this?
If you bet on a walk, it's plus 50. What did you say, plus 50?
There's some. I don't know if I want to do this.
Pays off good. If he walks, he always walks.
There's something that tells me he's going to hit a home run in his
first A home run?
I think.
Get out of
I know.
Here.
I shouldn't have said it.
Against you, Darvish?
Joseph's shaking his head
what
in
are you,
disgust in front of
you're
us right
crazy,
now.
Crazy, man. Don't forget, this is the same person that didn't think Jerks and Profar belonged top three of the
Oh,
MVP
now you're going to hold me accountable for that bit.
Well, you are picking Juan Soto to hit a home run here.
It pays well. Plus 950.
All right, take that. I'll All take right. walk.
All right, here's my parlay for tonight. It's plus 480 total.
Okay.
And I'm playing off of them, the Padres not hitting well against left-handed pitching. Carlos Rodon under 4.5 hits allowed.
Okay.
The Padres plus 1.5 on the run line.
Okay.
And then Luis Arraez over 0.5 hits. So he just has to have one hit. So
Arraez needs a hit, which is a good bet.
Which could happen at any point in the
game. The Padres get a run and a half.
Yep.
And Rodon has to be
under 4.5 hits allowed.
Okay. Well, the Padres haven't had more than 5 hits against a lefty in a while.
I spent far too much time putting that one together.
Well, good luck
today.
To you on that. How much would you get paid if
Plus
you happen to get lucky?
So, $480 if
all
you
right.
bet 100.
Well, all right. And you're going to win $950 if Soto hits a home run.
Yes.
But you're also going to have to bet 100 to lose when Soto doesn't hit a home run.
That's true. That's why I'm not actually betting.
I don't think that I would. I think that's a sucker bet. Honestly, I do. Because nobody hits a home run every 9.5 times up.
Have you seen Juan Soto
not
this
even
year?
Babe Ruth.
Have
hits
you seen
a home run.
Juan Soto this year?
Sure. He's got, what, 13 home runs. That's not a home run every 9 times up.
He just seems like the guy who loves to do things like this.
Okay. No.
Maybe
that's
you,
fine.
Darvish. I mean, you, Darvish, could easily strike him out as well.
And he's going to, no, he's going to walk him.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to tonight's other bets. The Minnesota Timberwolves must win game 2 of the Western Conference Finals. They're down 1-0 to the Dallas Mavericks. After Dallas took game 1, they're in Minnesota. And the T-Wolves are favored by 5.5 here. Do you see the T-Wolves bouncing back, or do you see Dallas taking a stranglehold on things?
I do see the T-Wolves bouncing back.
So you're going to give 5.5 points?
Yep, I am. I think that they're going to...
So they're going to win comfortably.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Comfortably tonight.
I mean, 6, is that comfortable?
It's pretty comfortable.
Okay, yeah, sure. Comfortably.
All right, you'll take Minnesota.
Yep.
I will take, I'll tell you what, Luka really had a great game, Gwan, and Kyrie Irving played well. And you know what? I'm not going to ever change my tune on Luka because he absolutely drives me crazy with his whining and complaining to the officials. But when he doesn't do that, which he did not do in game 1, when he just plays, he's really something to watch. And this guy has eyes in the back of his head. He can make passes unlike, you know, almost any other player in the NBA. He can score. I'm going to take Dallas plus the 5.5.
All right.
I think Minnesota might be able to squeak it out and tie the series, but I'm going to take the points. Who's going to score more tonight? Next bet on the board, Luka or Ant-Man?
Well,
now, the other night, Luka had 33. The Ant-Man, I think, only had 19. What's going to happen tonight? I'll take the Ant-Man to bounce back. He's got to score big tonight for Minnesota.
I'm going to go with you because I picked them to win. So
you're going to take the Ant-Man there?
Yes.
Tomorrow, Boston -7 at Indiana. It's game 3. I will say the Pacers are undefeated at home in the playoffs. But if Halliburton doesn't play, I don't know that you can give enough points to the Pacers. Who you picking here? Celtics -7 or go with the home team?
-7. Yeah, I'll go with the Celtics.
I keep
going back and forth, and I keep losing bets, but whatever.
Yeah, you do lose a lot of bets. I'll take the Indiana Pacers here. Halliburton finds a way to play. Pacers at home. You know, get on the board. I just Boston's been so lucky with everything going on. Tonight in Madison Square Garden, game 2, Stanley Cup Eastern Conference playoffs. Florida took game one 3-0 over the Rangers. Game two, Florida's favored by 1.5 goals. This is almost a 5-star. You got to take the Rangers at home to even this series. And if nothing else, you get a goal and a half plus the home team. I got to take the Rangers here. I don't see Florida winning both games in New York.
I'm going to go Panthers.
You're going to take them. You see Florida winning both games in
New
York.
Yeah, just because you're so sure of it.
All right. And finally, both guys, odds are 4.5. So I'll ask you, who's going to strike out more batters tonight? Carlos Rodon or Yu Darvish? Mm. They both have the same odds, 4.5. Who are you going with? Rodon against the flailing away bats of the Padres against lefties, or Yu Darvish?
Yu Darvish has been so good lately. I'm going to go Yu Darvish.
Yu Darvish hasn't given up a run in 25 innings. He's got a tremendous streak going right now. This may be a really low-scoring game tonight. I didn't put the over-under for tonight's spread on the list, but you consider that one pitcher hasn't given up a run in almost three games, and then the other pitcher is going against a team that hasn't scored a run against lefties in four of the last five games. It's going to be a very low-scoring game tonight. Could be like 2-1.
Oh, so he just predicted 2-1. What? It would make me very upset if I spent entire season trying to predict the score and Chris gets it right in the first game.
Gets it right on the first try. Yeah. It's very likely to happen. All right, we'll see how those wagers and predictions turn out. We'll come back more. Gwen and Chris, we'll check some traffic. Head on out. We're at Spiro's Greek Cafe, Mediterranean Cuisine in Coronado, and we're here until 5:30. Giving away more prizes during the break. Come on down, try to get yourself some stuff as Gwen and Chris continues. You know, we should remind everybody as we're broadcasting live here today from Spiro's Mediterranean Cuisine in Coronado that Spiro's is helping out the Lucky Duck Foundation, which helps the homeless situation in San Diego. Something that Peter Seidler was very fond of. He worked with the Lucky Duck. He was on the board there, and his wife has replaced him there, but the Lucky Duck does a great job helping the homeless, and Spears is donating part of the proceeds today, all the food and beverages, to the Lucky Duck Foundation. So we appreciate Spears doing that. We appreciate all you guys coming down and enjoying a beautiful afternoon in Coronado here at the Ferry Landing. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, Tony Gwynn Jr., unfortunately not with us this weekend. He is in New York, and I guess as big as New York is, it's not big enough for the both of them. Can't have Tony Gwynn Jr. and the Yankees there at the same time.
No,
so
no.
We had to send the Yankees out to San Diego where they will kick off a series against your Padres tonight, Scrabe.
Thank you.
Your ball club, your Padres. All right, so I was just talking to – I'm sorry, I didn't get – what was your name again?
Oh, Joseph.
Joseph,
he's
sorry,
a part
Joseph.
Of the Scraben Nation.
He's a Scrabenator.
Yes, he's a Scrabenator.
Well, Joseph just came
Anna
up.
Gwynn and Chris-er.
Anna Gwynn and Chris-er.
Yes.
Well, thanks, Joseph. Joseph said that he came up with his own stat, and I got to give him a little, you know, give him a little love on this. He put together the issues that the Padres are having against lefties, and he put that together with the issues that the Padres are having at home. And he tells me that against left-handed pitchers at Petco Park, the Padres' record is 1-5, and they've been outscored 34-12.
Okay.
That's his stat, not mine.
That's a good stat.
But that's what they're going up against tonight.
Oh,
they got
gosh.
A left-hander on the mound for the Yankees. We know that. So, you know, that's what you got to overcome. And eventually you're going to have to get that right if you're going to get this season rolling along the way you'd like to get it rolling along. So,
they're going to have Manny. To do it at some point.
Hello, Manny. Hello, Fernando.
Hello, Fernando. Hello, everyone.
Well, hello mostly those two guys.
Luis Campusano.
Yeah, Campusano. I mean, this guy's he's having a really nice year as his first-time full-time catcher, right? Campusano's done a good job. I think he's had as many at-bats as any catcher in all of baseball. So he's getting a lot of playing time. I think he's doing a terrific job handling the staff. I think he's doing a terrific job, you know, calling games. He's done it. He's contributed with the bat. But against left-handed pitching, he's like everybody else. He can't get a hit. He's 4-33. That's a 121 batting average. And again, Camposano's a righty, so he should hit left-handed pitching. It's not sensible.
That's the thing, is I just don't understand how a team that was so good against lefties last year is just not hitting lefties at all this year.
Yeah.
Like, a lefty is an automatic loss, it seems like, for them.
Well, let's hope that changes. Mike Schilt did talk about it yesterday. We played the clip on the program, and he's choosing to believe that, should I say it, water will find its level against left-handers.
He was,
and that
here
they will start
year.
And that they, I know,
he was a part
and
of the organization.
So he believes, you know, like the rest of us, that you know, the numbers will all even out and they'll start hitting lefties. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I think it's going to turn at some point. I really have a good feeling about the rest, the what they're doing right now. I said it on the Scraby show last night. They aren't losing. They haven't had many instances of like five games in a row that they've lost. They've been able to stop it maybe after two, which is pretty important for a team that's hovering around 500 not to go six games under 500.
No, I mean, that's the thing we keep talking about, that they have to get a run going to get themselves six or seven games over 500. But you're right. At the same time, you have to prevent falling six or seven games under 500, because
yeah.
That would, I don't want to say that would be disastrous, but they may have trouble getting out of that.
I mean, look at the Mets right now. The Mets are a mess.
Yes, the
and
Mets
they were
have fallen
around 500,
fast.
And they've lost like 13 of their last like 16 or 17
games.
Yeah,
the Mets 500 right now. So,
and it's not getting better for them.
And I'm imagining the fans in New York are pretty happy about it.
We have a Big Five topic about the Mets and about Steve Cohen. The WFAN personalities have taken aim at the owner of the Mets for being the problem, which... they kind of make sense.
Really?
Yeah,
all right, well,
to me a little bit.
We'll see what that's all about. Big Five's a little later in the program. I think we got a countdown.
We sure
coming
do.
Up in the next segment.
Yes,
we're at
we
Spiro's
do.
Mediterranean Cuisine. The countdown has something to do with that.
Yes.
So stick around. Come on down. Join us in Coronado. We're here at the Ferry Landing in Coronado until 5:30. Gwen and Chris on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan. We're back. Gwen and Chris from Coronado at Spiro's. The great Mediterranean cuisine out here. We're enjoying, I'm enjoying a bunch of stuff. Scrape, you haven't eaten anything today. You're holding out on your SD fat loss, I
yes.
see.
Yeah,
very
you know,
good.
My metabolism, I'm going to be 39 tomorrow, Chris.
Tomorrow's your birthday. Let's hear it for Scraby. His birthday's tomorrow.
Probably shouldn't have said that, but I'm going to be 39. My metabolism not the same as it was
39.
Back in the day.
39?
I know. I'm old.
What a youngster you are. 39.
He says youngster.
I remember that.
I mean,
barely.
I remember. Everybody knows this feeling when you're like 21.
You haven't even
I'll
hit 40
never get
yet.
To 40.
Well, you may not. I mean, you haven't made
whoa,
it yet.
Jeez. That was weird.
You haven't made
I
it yet.
I think he was wishing for something.
Celebrate 39. Then you'll worry about getting to 40.
Okay.
And
one year at a time.
Enjoy one at a time. Absolutely. We are, I wanted to say, is Drew nearby? Can you give Drew the mic? Drew, can you come over for just a second? Drew Mosier from the Lucky Duck Foundation. Let's hear it for him out there. Drew, thanks for coming by and... I know Spiro's is donating a little something-something to you guys, but, you know, thanks for what you do in San Diego. I think more than anything, this was an organization that, you know, was really important to Peter Seiler and is important to a lot of us in this community.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me and featuring Lucky Duck Foundation, and I think some proceeds from the food and beer
yeah.
sales are coming back to us, which is awesome. And, yeah, I mean... our mission is to prevent and alleviate the suffering of homelessness throughout San Diego County, and our mantra is simple. If you consider yourself to have had some good luck and fortune in your life, share that luck with others. And to encourage that, our co-founders match all donations up to $1.5 million per year. And
wow.
To your point earlier, Peter Seiler was closely involved with Lucky Duck, with doing everything in his power to alleviate homelessness throughout San Diego County, and he was just... off the charts amazing on so many levels.
Yeah, we've heard so many, you know, we heard so many stories, and every one of them was more touching than the next.
Yeah, he was so committed to, you know, applying business principles and organizing the private sector, and then linking up with Lucky Duck and our co-founders to make things happen, and not being afraid to, you know, call out some elected officials if that's what
yeah,
needed
right.
to happen, or
yeah.
or pat them on the back if they were taking constructive steps forward. But you know, he gave an incredible amounts of his time, talent, and treasure. I mean, he started this one thing he did is he hosted a weekly meeting with key business leaders, and he was adamant that we're going to meet every single week and figure out what the private sector and Lucky Duck can do to influence change, and didn't miss a meeting for 7+ years since he started in 2016, including Christmas Day and New Year's Day. I mean, that's how committed he was.
Yeah.
He said, if the homeless aren't going to take a day off, we're not either.
No.
So that's just, you know, one example of many of his just extraordinary generosity and leadership.
This is an issue that I think affects everybody, and I also think everybody feels like it's something that we can all agree we need to do something about. I mean, I don't imagine you have to go around and convince people to try to help. The problem seems to be figuring out how to solve it. I mean, that is just seems like one of those things that nobody's able to quite grasp yet.
Yeah, if they say hitting a fastball off a major league pitcher is the hardest thing to do in sports,
right?
You could say solving homelessness might be the most challenging social issue. And we know we're never going to solve it, but we think we can make meaningful progress. And to your point of, you know, it's top of mind for everybody. It's arguably the most pressing social issue locally, and what we try to do is give everyone an opportunity to do their small share in making a difference. And if you go on our website, there's a button that says share your luck, and it'll drop down with, you know, 10 or 15 different ways that people can get involved. And that's, I mean, in so many ways it goes back to Peter and his leadership and his commitment to do something. And he would constantly, you know, say, all right, well, how can we make this, how can we encourage everybody to do their small part, whether it's donating or volunteering or what have you. And the other part that he was so adamant about is just coming at it with a collaborative approach. Like, we don't care at all about credit. We just care about trying to get organizations and government working together in a meaningful way forward. That's easier said than done, but we remain committed to that. And so, yeah, that's kind of in a nutshell who we are, and there's nothing I could say that can encapsulate, you know, Peter and his life and his commitment to our mission and just homelessness in general. And he did a lot of stuff outside of Lucky Duck as well, but we're more focused than ever to accomplish what he set out to do.
Give me the website so people listening, if they're, you know, want to, can go and check it out and see what they can do to help.
Yeah, LuckyDuckFoundation.org.
Okay. LuckyDuckFoundation.org. We're appreciative of people like you, Drew, and everybody who, you know, works on this, because, I mean, it's something that I think we all would love to see, you know, improve, not only for the people there, but for our entire community. I mean, it's just something that we all have a stake in. So,
well, thanks. It's very important. Really goes back to Peter and our board of directors and our co-founders. They're the ones that said, we're going to take this on. And I'm just the one that comes on the air and flaps my gums.
Yes.
And tries to represent
I've seen you on TV before. You're a TV star. I did not know he was a TV star, folks. I only thought he was a third baseman. He plays on one of my softball teams. So he's a pretty good third baseman. Manny Machado, and he a lot in common over there around the hot corner. Thanks, Drew.
We need to fact check that one.
We'll fact check that. Yes, we will. We'll definitely get some footage out to make sure. Thanks, Drew.
Thanks
good
so
luck
much.
And thanks for having us out and part of this the celebration today at Spiro's.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Of course. Drew Mosier right there from the Lucky Duck Foundation. Again, LuckyDuckFoundation.org. Check it out. See if you can't help. Because we're all trying to get it, you know, make that homeless situation as good as we can.
Yes.
Mr. Scraby.
Absolutely.
All right. We about ready to get into today's countdown, sir?
Yeah, Nick, just let us know if traffic's there. Okay.
Not ready.
All right, let's just go in.
Then we'll go into the countdown. I don't know if we're going to play the countdown open or we're just going to...
Let's just go right into it, Chris.
All right, we're going to count down today since we're at Spiro's Mediterranean Cuisine Greek Cafe out here in Coronado, broadcasting live. Today, our top five Greek things.
Yes, Greek things.
Top five Greek things. I think, you know, I'm feeling pretty good about my list.
Okay.
I think I've been kind of, you know,
now,
have a couple of interesting selections
here. Did this fit on one Post-it note or did it
It's on one Post-it note.
Okay.
It's all on one Post-it note. This Post-it note here
has
my list of my top five Greek things.
Can you show everybody how small your handwriting is?
Well, they can't see it.
Exactly. Isn't that the craziest small handwriting you've ever seen?
Yeah, I get all my information on one sheet.
Here, give me one of those. I need to show the camera.
Show the camera.
Because we finally figured out the echo, apparently.
Oh, good. Okay.
So there you go, everybody.
That's how small my printing is. Yeah.
All right, are we ready for Greek things?
Top five Greek things. Number five.
Number five.
Number five. You want me to go first?
I'll go first.
Go first. What's your top? What's your number five favorite Greek thing?
The movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Ah,
it's a good really
selection.
Funny movie.
Good selection.
I haven't seen it in a long time.
Yeah,
the Windex thing is hilarious. You put everything in Windex, and it makes.
You know, the lady
okay.
who wrote that movie was not involved at all in Hollywood in any way, shape, or form.
Really?
Yeah, she just came out and said, "Yeah, I want to do a movie about the Greek heritage and the family and the tradition and everything." And she wrote the movie. She produced it. She starred in it. She did everything.
That's like
and then
the
she
story
became
that
somewhat
never
famous.
Happens.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All
Greek.
Right.
My Big Fat Greek Wedding, number five.
Yes.
Good choice.
Yes, thank you.
My number five favorite Greek thing is Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek freak. Yeah,
I'm trying so hard not to make an injury joke here.
Well, go ahead and make one. I mean,
the guy doesn't play anymore.
He doesn't play anymore. He's played enough to win two MVP awards. So he did get hurt at the end of last season, and that certainly hurt the Bucks' chances of going anywhere this year. But this guy is he's quite the. I think you know he's got to take the top spot, number one Greek athlete. So. I went with Giannis as my number five Greek thing.
All right. I thought about Giannis because, honestly, it's the only real Greek athlete I'm aware
right.
of at the
yeah,
moment.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. So that's why I went with him. All right. Number four.
Number four.
Number four.
It's going to be a food item, and it's going to be like the Greek olives. Like
Greek
not,
olives.
Not
like these things
yes,
right here.
Yes. Do they have pits in them? Because I don't like
nope.
the ones with pits in them.
They
but I do like, what are they called? Like Kalamata?
Kalamata olives?
Here, you can
know.
Put one right there.
Have an olive.
Thank you. I'm going to eat this olive.
There you go. Very good. How
Love
is it?
It?
Delicious?
Good. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Greek olives. It's a good choice, Scrabby. I got to tell you something.
I used to order martinis just so I can get the extra olives.
That's funny. I used to kind of do the same thing.
Really?
Yeah,
that's
many
the,
years ago.
Wow.
I didn't really like the martini all that much. I like the olives. All right, number four for me is going to be the Greek island of Santorini.
Okay.
The Greek island of Santorini.
You've
if you've
been
never
there.
Seen I have. I've been lucky enough to go there on a Mediterranean cruise.
Wow.
It's unlike... A lot of places on Earth, the whole city or a lot of the housing of the city is built on a, basically, which is a cliff that goes from, you know, where the island is.
Is this like the photos up, I've probably
yes,
seen a lot?
Yes, if you've ever seen a photo of a bunch of bleached white housing
exactly
on the side
about.
Of a cliff,
yes.
that's the island of Santorini. It's really unlike any place I've ever been before. And so I thought I'd sneak it in there as one of my top five Greek things. It landed at number four.
Now, if I had ever traveled over to Greece, I would definitely put it on the list, but I have not, so
yes,
it's not on the list.
You will get there someday.
Yes. Number three.
Number three. I'm doing an official thing. Yeah, number three, number three,
number three.
Yes, very
three.
Good. Okay.
The birth of the Olympics.
The Olympics.
Yes. I remember back in like the BC days. You were there. So
It wasn't BC. It was 1896
no,
was the first Olympics.
Didn't they start like the Olympics?
The first modern Olympics
okay, the
were
first
in 1896.
Modern, yes. I didn't know that. And
in
they actually,
Athens.
Did you know that for like pigeon shooting, they actually used real pigeons? Back
in those days?
Yes.
They probably didn't know there was a law against that back then.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess so. But
so.
The Olympics, I mean, everything about the Olympics comes from Greece.
Yeah, very good. All right, number three for me is going to be, I'll go with that too. I was on my list. So I'll say the Olympics. Number three. Now, what you're thinking of is the prehistoric Olympics.
Yeah.
When Pheidippides ran from the town of Marathon to Athens to alert everybody that a war was afoot. The town of Marathon was exactly 26 miles away from Athens. Pheidippides ran this entire course to alert everybody to be on, you know, the war was
yes,
coming.
Yes.
That's how the marathon was built. And that is why the marathon distance is 26 miles.
Okay.
Because the city of Marathon is 26 miles from Athens.
Wow.
Pheidippides ran all that way. I thought you'd like to know that. I don't know how much that has to do with the actual modern Olympics, which began in Athens in 1896. But I do remember attending. It was a fine event.
When you drop Pheidippides.
When I drop Pheidippides on
you,
you know I got it going
oh
on.
Oh, my gosh. Did you? Oh, wow. Okay. Pheidippides, yeah. Number three.
Good old Pheidippides, number three. What you got
let's
for
go
number,
to
two?
Number two.
Number two.
Number
two.
Another oh,
there
food
we go.
Item.
There's, wait, did you hear it? The official sounder.
Oh, hey, Nick. Another food item, and I have not been able to dive into this yet, but a gyro.
A gyro.
So good.
I can't believe you haven't eaten that entire thing. You're being so well behaved.
Now that things are kind of settled down, I'm going to dig in.
But you finally kind of relaxed a little bit. You were really, really uptight at the beginning
of the
show.
There were major issues, and everybody was blaming me for them, and I don't like that.
I know you don't.
Okay.
But people do seem to blame me for a lot of stuff.
I know. It's crazy.
All right. Number two thing for me, Scraby, is Delta Chi. That was my fraternity. I was a member of the Greek system at San Diego State.
This surprises me a lot.
And I was in a fraternity?
Yeah,
that surprised
me. Like fraternity guy. Like, people probably expect me to be in a fraternity.
But why wouldn't you expect me to be in one?
Just because
you don't think anybody would invite me?
No, that's not what it is.
Okay, why?
Elitism, maybe?
Yes. Okay, well, Delta Chi was the least elite fraternity on the San Diego State campus, and that's why I joined that one.
Oh,
because I hated the eliteness of the fraternity system.
Who was the elite?
The elite of the elite back then was the SAEs.
Oh, I've heard of
and
that.
The Lambda Chi's.
Ah, yes.
Oh, my
yes.
goodness. They were so obnoxious. But the Delta Chi's were cool. We were so cool that our nickname among the rest of the fraternity people was the Delta Nobodies because we didn't have any kind of image at all.
Okay.
And that's exactly how we liked it.
The Delta Nobodies.
The Delta Nobodies. Delta Chi was in the Greek system. I don't know what the fraternity Greek system is like out there, sororities, et cetera, but I think it was an important part of my growing up. So number two on my list of Greek things I like.
I could totally be wrong, but I feel like back in the 70s and 80s, fraternities were a bigger thing than it is now, but I could totally be wrong.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. I know a lot of my friends' kids join sororities, fraternities, but I don't. We're back, Gwen and Chris from Coronado at Spiro's. The great Mediterranean cuisine out here. We're enjoying, I'm enjoying a bunch of stuff. Scrape, you haven't eaten anything today. You're holding out on your SD fat loss, I see.
Yeah,
very good.
My metabolism, I'm going to be 39 tomorrow, Chris.
Tomorrow's your birthday. Let's hear it for Scraby. His birthday's tomorrow.
Probably shouldn't have said that. But, I'm going to be 39. My metabolism not the same as it was
39.
Back in the day. I know. I'm old.
What a youngster you are. 39.
He says youngster.
I remember that.
I mean,
barely.
I remember. Everybody knows this feeling when you're like 21.
You haven't even hit 40
yet.
I'll
get to 40.
Well, you may not. I mean, you haven't made it yet.
Jeez. That was weird.
You haven't made it yet.
I think he was wishing for something.
Celebrate 39. Then you'll worry about getting to 40.
Okay. One year at a time.
Enjoy one at a time. Absolutely. We are... I wanted to say, is Drew nearby? Can you give Drew the mic? Drew, can you come over for just a second? Drew Mosier from the Lucky Duck Foundation. Let's hear it for him out there. Drew, thanks for coming by and... I know Spiro's is donating a little something-something to you guys, but, you know, thanks for what you do in San Diego. I think more than anything, this was an organization that, you know, was really important to Peter Seiler and is important to a lot of us in this community.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me and featuring Lucky Duck Foundation, and I think some proceeds from the food and beer sales are coming back to us, which is awesome. And, yeah, I mean... Our mission is to prevent and alleviate the suffering of homelessness throughout San Diego County, and our mantra is simple. If you consider yourself to have had some good luck and fortune in your life, share that luck with others. And to encourage that, our co-founders match all donations up to $1.5 million per year. And
wow.
To your point earlier, Peter Seiler was closely involved with Lucky Duck, with doing everything in his power to alleviate homelessness throughout San Diego County, and he was just... off the charts amazing on so many levels.
Yeah, we've heard so many, you know, we heard so many stories, and every one of them was more touching than the next.
Yeah, he was so committed to, you know, applying business principles and organizing the private sector and then linking up with Lucky Duck and our co-founders to make things happen and not being afraid to, you know, call out some elected officials if that's what needed to happen, or pat them on the back if they were taking constructive steps forward. But you know, he gave an incredible amounts of his time, talent, and treasure. I mean, he started this. One thing he did is he hosted a weekly meeting
with key business leaders, and he was adamant that we're going to meet every single week and figure out what the private sector and Lucky Duck can do to influence change, and didn't miss a meeting for 7+ years since he started in 2016, including Christmas Day and New Year's Day. I mean, that's how committed he was.
Yeah.
He said, if the homeless aren't going to take a day off, we're not either.
And no.
So that's just, you know, one example of many of his just extraordinary generosity and leadership.
This is this is an issue that I think affects everybody. And I also think everybody feels like it's something that we can all agree we need to do something about. I mean, I don't imagine you have to go around and convince people to try to help. The problem seems to be figuring out how to solve it. I mean, that is it just seems like one of those things that nobody's able to quite grasp yet.
Yeah, if they say hitting a fastball off a major league pitcher is the hardest thing to do in sports,
right?
You could say solving homelessness might be the most challenging social issue. And we know we're never going to solve it, but we think we can make meaningful progress. And to your point of, it's top of mind for everybody. It's arguably the most pressing social issue locally. And what we try to do is give everyone an opportunity to do their small share in making a difference. And if you go on our website, there's a button that says share your luck, and it'll drop down with 10 or 15 different ways that people can get involved. And that's, I mean, in so many ways it goes back to Peter and his leadership and his commitment to do something. And he would constantly say, all right, well, how can we make this how can we encourage everybody to do their small part, whether it's donating or volunteering or what have you. And the other part that he was so adamant about is just coming at it with a collaborative approach. Like, we don't care at all about credit. We just care about trying to get organizations and government working together in a meaningful way forward. That's easier said than done, but we remain committed to that. And so, yeah, that's kind of in a nutshell who we are. And there's nothing I could say that can encapsulate, Peter and his life and his commitment to our mission and just homelessness in general. And he did a lot of stuff outside of Lucky Duck as well. But we're more focused than ever to accomplish what he set out to do.
Give me the website so people listening, if they're want to, can go and check it out and see what they can do to help.
Yeah, luckyduckfoundation.org.
Okay. luckyduckfoundation.org. We're appreciative of people like you, Drew, and everybody who works on this, because it's something that I think we all would love to see improve, not only for the people there, but for our entire community. I mean, it's just something that we all have a stake in. So,
well, thanks. It's
very important.
It really goes back to Peter and our board of directors and our co-founders. They're the ones that said, we're going to take this on. And I'm just the one that comes on the air and flaps my gums
yes.
and tries to represent
I've seen you on TV before. You're a TV star. I did not know he was a TV star, folks. I only thought he was a third baseman. He plays on one of my softball teams. So he's a pretty good third baseman. Manny Machado, and he a lot in common over there around the hot corner. Thanks, Drew.
We need to fact check that one.
We'll fact check that. Yes, we will. We'll definitely get some footage out to make sure. Thanks, Drew. Good
so
luck
much.
And thanks for having us out and part of this the celebration today at Spiro's.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate
of course
it.
Drew Mosier right there from the Lucky Duck Foundation. Again, luckyduckfoundation.org. Check it out. See if you can't help. Because we're all of us, I think we're all trying to get it, make that homeless situation as good as we can.
Yes.
Mr. Scraby.
Absolutely.
All right, we about ready to get into today's countdown, sir?
Yeah, Nick, just let us know if traffic's there. Okay.
Not ready.
All right, let's just go in.
Then we'll go into the countdown. I don't know if we're going to play the countdown open or are we just going to...
Let's just go right into it, Chris.
All right, we're going to count down today since we're at Spiro's Mediterranean Cuisine Greek Cafe out here in Coronado, broadcasting live. Today, our top five Greek things.
Yes, Greek things.
Top five Greek things. I think, I'm feeling pretty good about my list. I think I've been kind of, have a couple of interesting selections
here. Did this fit on one Post-it note, or did it
It's on one Post-it note.
Okay.
It's all on one Post-it note. This Post-it note here
has
my list of my top five Greek things.
Can you show everybody how small your handwriting is?
Well, they can't see it.
Exactly. Isn't that the craziest small handwriting you've ever seen?
Yeah, I get all my information on one sheet.
Here, give me one of those. I need to show the camera.
Show the camera.
Because we finally figured out the echo, apparently.
Oh, good. Okay.
So there you go, everybody.
That's how small my printing is. Yeah.
All right, are we ready for Greek things?
Top five Greek things. Number five.
Number five.
Number five. You want me to go first?
I'll go first.
Go first. What's your top? What's your number five favorite Greek thing?
The movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Ah,
it's a really
selection.
Funny movie.
Good
I haven't
selection.
Seen it in a long time.
Yeah,
the Windex thing is hilarious. So you put everything in Windex, and it makes.
You know, the lady
okay.
who wrote that movie was not involved at all in Hollywood in any way, shape, or form.
Really?
Yeah,
I
she
did
just
not.
Yeah, she just came out and said, "Yeah, I want to do a movie about the Greek heritage and the family and the tradition and everything." And she wrote the movie. She produced it. She starred in it. She did everything.
That's like
and
the
then she
story
became
that
somewhat
never
famous.
Happens.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All
Greek.
Right.
My Big Fat Greek Wedding, number five.
Yes.
Good choice.
Yes, thank you.
My number five favorite Greek thing is Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek freak. Yeah,
I'm trying so hard not to make an injury joke here.
Well, go ahead and make one. I mean,
the guy doesn't play anymore.
He doesn't play anymore. He's played enough to win two MVP awards. So he did get hurt at the end of last season, and that certainly hurt the Bucks' chances of going anywhere this year. But this guy is he's quite the. I think you know he's got to take the top spot, number one Greek athlete. So. I went with Giannis as my number five Greek thing.
All right. I thought about Giannis because, honestly, it's the only real Greek athlete I'm aware
right.
of at the
yeah,
moment.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. So that's why I went with him. All right. Number four.
Number four.
Number four.
It's going to be a food item, and it's going to be like the Greek olives. Like
Greek
not,
olives.
Not
like
the,
these things
yes,
right here.
Yes. Do they have pits in them? Because I don't like
nope.
the ones with pits in them.
They
but I do like, what are they called? Like Kalamata?
Kalamata olives?
Here,
I
you
don't
can
know.
Put
here.
One right there.
Have an olive.
Thank you. I'm going to eat this olive.
There you go. Very good. How
Love
is it?
It.
Delicious?
Good. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Greek olives. It's a good choice, Scrabby. I got to tell you something.
I used to order martinis just so I can get the extra olives.
That's funny. I used to kind of do the same thing.
Really?
Yeah,
that's
many
the,
years ago.
Wow.
I didn't really like the martini all that much. I like the olives. All right, number four for me is going to be the Greek island of Santorini.
Okay.
The Greek island of Santorini.
You've
if you've
been
never
there.
Seen I have. I've been lucky enough to go there on a Mediterranean cruise.
Wow.
It's unlike a lot of places on Earth. The whole city or a lot of the housing in the city is built on a basically which is a cliff that goes from you know where the island is.
Is this like the photos up, I've probably
yes,
seen a lot?
Yes. If you've ever seen a photo of a bunch of bleached white housing
exactly
on the side
about.
Of a cliff,
yes.
That's the island of Santorini. It's really unlike any place I've ever been before. And so I thought I'd sneak it in there as one of my top five Greek things. It landed at number four.
Now, if I had ever traveled over to Greece, I would definitely put it on the list, but I have not, so
yes,
it's not on the list.
You will get there someday.
Yes. Number three.
Number three.
Well, I mean,
I'm doing an official
Greek
thing. Yeah, number
oh,
three, number,
number
three,
number three.
Three. Yeah, it's very
three.
Good. Okay.
The birth of the Olympics.
The Olympics.
Yes, I remember back in like the BC days. You were there, so
it wasn't BC. It was 1896.
No,
was the first Olympics?
Didn't they start like the Olympics?
The first modern Olympics.
Okay, the
were
first
in 1896.
Modern, yes. I didn't know that. And
in
actually,
Athens.
Did you know that for like pigeon shooting, they actually used real pigeons back
in those days?
Yes,
they probably didn't know there was a law against that back then.
I guess so.
Yeah,
I guess so. But
so.
The Olympics. I mean, everything about the Olympics comes from Greece.
Yeah. Very good. All right, number three for me is going to be, I'll go with that too. I was on my list, so I'll say the Olympics. Number three, now what you're thinking of is the prehistoric Olympics.
Yeah.
When Pheidippides ran from the town of Marathon to Athens to alert everybody that a war was afoot. The town of Marathon was exactly 26 miles away from Athens. Pheidippides ran this entire course to alert everybody to be on, you know, the war was
yes,
coming.
Yes.
That's how the marathon was built. And that is why the marathon distance is 26 miles.
Okay.
Because the city of Marathon is 26 miles from Athens.
Wow.
Pheidippides ran all that way. I thought you'd like to know that. I don't know how much that has to do with the actual modern Olympics, which began in Athens in 1896. But I do remember attending. It was a fine event.
When you drop Pheidippides.
When I drop Pheidippides on you, you know I got it going
oh
on.
Oh, my gosh. Did you? Wow. Okay. Pheidippides, yeah. Number three.
Good old Pheidippides, number three. All right, what you got
let's
for
go
number,
to
two?
Number two?
Number two.
Another food item. Did you hear it? The official sounder.
Oh, hey, Nick. Another food item, and I have not been able to dive into this yet, but a gyro.
A gyro.
So good.
I can't believe you haven't eaten that entire thing. You're being so well behaved.
Now that things are kind of settled down, I'm going to dig in.
But you finally kind of relaxed a little bit. You were really, really uptight at the beginning
of the
show.
There were major issues, and everybody was blaming me for them, and I don't like them.
I know you don't.
Okay.
But do people just seem to blame me for a lot of stuff?
I know. It's crazy.
All right. Number two thing for me, Scraby, is Delta Chi. That was my fraternity. I was a member of the Greek system at San Diego State.
This surprises me a lot.
And I was in a fraternity?
Yeah,
that surprised
like a fraternity guy. Like, people probably expect me to be in a fraternity.
But why wouldn't you expect me to be in one?
Just because
you don't think anybody would invite me?
No, that's not what it is.
Okay, why?
Elitism, maybe?
Yes. Okay, well, Delta Chi was the least elite fraternity on the San Diego State campus, and that's why I joined that one.
Oh,
because I hated the eliteness of the fraternity system.
Who was the elite?
The elite of the elite back then was the SAEs.
Oh, I've heard of
and
that.
The Lambda Chi's.
Oh, my goodness.
They were so obnoxious. But the Delta Chi's were cool. We were so cool that our nickname among the rest of the fraternity people was the Delta Nobodies because we didn't have any kind of image at all.
Okay.
And that's exactly how we liked it.
The Delta Nobodies.
The Delta Nobodies. Delta Chi was in the Greek system. I don't know what the fraternity Greek system is like out there, sororities, et cetera, but I think it was an important part of my growing up. So number two on my list of Greek things I like.
I could totally be wrong, but I feel like back in the 70s and 80s, fraternities were a bigger thing than it is now, but I could totally be wrong.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. I know a lot of my friends' kids join sororities, fraternities, but I don't know that the experience is the same, you know, as what it was in our days when they really didn't have any rules. Now they just have rules for everything. So
there's good. That's a good thing.
That's
though.
A good thing,
it's
and it's a good thing. And a not as fun thing.
True,
unfortunately.
But I'll take the not as fun for a good thing any day.
Here we go.
Number
one. Number one favorite Greek thing for you is
the Greek gods and all of the philosophy.
All of the Greek gods.
Like the philosophy. I loved learning about that when I was a kid.
Pheidippides?
Yeah, sure. Pheidippides,
I don't believe, was a Greek god.
Hercules.
Hercules was one.
Zeus.
Zeus is good.
Athena.
Yeah.
Apollo?
Apollo sounds like a Greek god to me. I'll go with that.
And then I got confused because sometimes I get confused with the Roman gods.
Yes, I do
too. Gods.
I do too.
So I think, I know Zeus is Greek, but
I don't know the difference between the Roman gods and the Greek
gods
either.
Well, I think the Roman gods is like Ares and the stars and stuff like that in different times.
You've lost me completely, but that's okay. The Greek gods are your number one favorite Greek thing.
A random ham says on the chat that Zeus was a bit of a prick. I don't know how a random ham...
Did you just say that?
You can say that.
You can?
Yes.
You can say prick your finger, but I don't know that you can say it the other way around.
I never knew that was a bad word.
Wow. I don't know about
Let's just
that.
Move on from it, then.
Scraby, I don't know that they're going to have to dump that.
Oh,
particular.
Tyler said the planet names are the Roman gods. Jupiter, Mercury, Venus,
Got it.
Mars.
Thank you, Tyler, for that. I did not know. I don't have good knowledge on the subject of gods.
We have Alpha Delta Pi, Katie, in the chat.
Oh, okay. Good for you, Katie. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people were in the Greek system, one way or the other. Delta Chi was my fraternity. That's Triangle X, if you're wondering out there.
Triangle X.
All right, and finally, my number one favorite Greek thing in the entire planet.
Hummus?
Hummus. Gotta be number one.
He does love it.
I just love hummus. I gotta tell you, at Spiro's, they make the best hummus. I've been munching on it all day long here. It's terrific. Hummus is basically, it's not gonna sound too good when I tell you. Do you know what the ingredients are? It's pretty much ground up garbanzo beans.
Yeah, I did.
And oil.
Some oil. Yeah, olive oil.
But I just love it. I don't know.
Have you ever made your own hummus before?
I've not. I figure by the time I figured out how to work all that and grind everything up, I could make it to the store and back.
Okay.
So I choose not to make my own hummus, but and plus I can't make it as good as they have it at Spiro's. So Spiro's hummus, if you're coming down here and you're getting, you know, a gyro, you're getting a skewer, you're getting whatever you get, You gotta open with some hummus.
All right,
hummus is number one favorite Greek thing.
It is good. It is.
I'd say it's the reason I became a fan of Greek food, Mediterranean food in the first place.
It's the Greek version of chips and salsa.
Yes, much healthier.
Yeah,
much healthier for you. Delicious and nutritious.
I could also eat a full basket of pita bread as well.
Fresh, soft pita bread.
Right now.
Go for it. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, time for you to play some trivia against us, 97.3 The Fans. Chris versus The Fans, 833-288-0973. If you want a chance to go to Las Vegas, call in. We'll talk to you next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.